Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to yet another episode of the Witching Hour podcast. Returning, very dear friend of mine, Miss Corey Colley from CDC Works Official. Corey, welcome back.
It's good to be back. It really is.
Thank you for taking the time, and thank you for having the time to stop back and let's just call this a fill-up. All right, I'm going to be your gas station tonight, and you're the gas station. You're going to fill us in on everything that's been going on, because for the last, let's just say 4 months since our last interview, you and I have kept saying, we need to do number two. And in between every we need to, there's always been another production. There's been another project that you've been involved in. And last time we talked, you were still getting over. You were in a very, very bad place up here. You were in a huge funk. You were pissed at work. Your aspirations and dreams of doing more acting was not coming through, let's just say, as quick as you had wanted.
Yes.
You wanted it so badly that it just wasn't happening fast enough. I'm sorry, I got to put the Italian hand down. And you were still healing from your car accident. So you were in a very bad place. And since then, we have not hardly been able to connect on text messages, just because you are always on the move. And while holding down a full-time job as well.
Yeah.
So since, I'm not even going to try to get the bio going here. Fill us in on the last, let's just say, 4 months, because it's been a lot.
Yeah, it's amazing how life can switch up on you in the blink of an eye. And to say I'm grateful is an understatement. I know last time I did speak to you, my car accident, it was a very humbling feeling for me. And so I don't, was this, did I talk to you pre or post Forest Hills?
You were getting ready to.
Okay. So
like that weekend, you were getting ready to.
Okay. So I did Forest Hills, which, if your listeners are not familiar with that, it's probably the most popular film that I've worked on. It's the movie. It's the return of Shelley Duvall. It stars Edward Furlong, Dee Wallace, Shelley, Marion Hagen, Felissa Rose. I'm not going to talk about that movie too much because I don't want to. I'm just being honest. We'll skip over Forest Hills. So after Atlanta, which was a very perilous and annoying trip, to say the least.
Expensive trip, from what I heard.
It was very expensive. I'm still paying it off. I linked up with the Spanish director, Miquel Balerdi Torres, which if your listeners are not familiar with him, he did the very infamous La Ramental, which according to some circuits and horror, it's supposed to be the most extreme film in Europe right now. Miquel is without a doubt one of he's such an amazing human being. He's a very dark entity, but he's also got the kindest soul. I mean, talking to him and him, you know, tutoring me and stuff and getting this film out. I starred in a film we did together called Tripophobic Possession, which I just finished that last month. And he contacted me via DM and he said, hey, listen, I really like your work. I like your rawness. And he said, I have an idea for a film. Would you like to be in it? And I said, yeah, absolutely. And you know, at first, and I never talked about this with anybody, but at first, he told me, and I think looking back, he probably tested me to make sure I was dedicated to the project. But at first, you know, he said, give me 10 minutes of film, send me something. Yeah, I'll look at it and we'll go from there. So I said, okay. So I did 10 minutes, sent it to him. He didn't like it at all. It was not good feedback. And for me, it was a hard pill to swallow because I thought for what it was good. But with that being said, you know, he kind of, he, because of that, he taught me direction. And I think that that's what his primary goal was. And I don't mean to go on a diatribe about this, but I have so many wonderful things to say about that man. He taught me direction. He taught me how to be a better actress. You know, he taught me how to utilize planes and stuff. And so we did that. The movie came out fantastic. I actually have seen a raw cut of it, and it's fucking phenomenal, by the way. So I'm grateful for him not liking what I sent him originally, because in retrospect, looking back, he was right. And I think as an actress and just a creative, it... You really have to learn how to take criticism. And for me, from someone like him, who is a legend in the underground, you know, horror world, it hurt because
that's that hot pin in, you know, in the back of your spine that hurts that ego button. Sure.
Yeah. But with that being said, like, I, you know, again, I think he tested me. He wanted to make sure I was really dedicated, and I was. And he came out in the end, and he actually sent me via WhatsApp. He cannot speak English, by the way.
Right.
So we communicated via WhatsApp, and I communicated by translating, because I'd rather speak Spanish with him than English, just because I'd rather be respectful to him.
Sure.
So he ended up crying.
More clear with his.
Yeah.
With him, sure.
Yeah, and. So he ended up crying after it was completed. And that to me, that made it just worth it. So
yeah, I've seen a couple of his personal uploaded videos that he's done of himself on Instagram. And you mentioned he's kind of a dark soul.
Mm-hmm.
It's pitch black. Not saying he's not a nice person, please. I'm not insinuating that.
No, yeah.
This, you know, you can tell he definitely is intrigued by, to say, the movies that he puts out.
Yeah. And I think that's why we bonded, and we still talk every day, almost as if we're related. And,
good. Well, tell my son like Beth, and I can't wait to see the film.
I'm
very anxious for that.
He's the only one that I think is on par with going to the extremes that I do, in the sense of me using my own blood, me doing this and that. But, you know, besides that, I don't mean to, like I said, harp on about that. Besides that, so I just got back from Buffalo, New York, and I did a film with David Williams, who is part of Red Screen Films LLC. David did the films Rust Belt Driller, which is fucking out there. He did a movie called Abject, which is kind of loosely based on tentacle porn. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. And my movie that we just completed was Null, which was shot in the old Jell-O factory in Leroy, New York. And, you know, I that's another experience where I just drank it in. And Colin, my co-star, the one that's starring in the movie with me, Colin Aaron is just an amazing actor. He really is. I mean, that entire film was improv. There was no lines, no script. You know, David said, here's a camera, go have fun. And Colin and I actually played off of each other in one scene. And it was beautiful, because in the distance, bells were ringing. So it was very intriguing. It added to the liminal aspects of the film. And so I just finished with that. And I'm also now in the process of working on segments from the Old Testament for Daniel Valiant, or AKA White Gardenia. So I've done so far the Whore of Babylon, Sodom and Gomorrah, and I'm finishing up Book of Lamentations later this week. And then he actually called me tonight, and he said, hey, listen, you know, can you do three more segments? And so I said, okay, sure. So I'm going to end up doing six segments for this, and it's going to be a 4-hour epic that will be submitted to different Christian film festivals. So to me, this is outside my wheelhouse. It's not so much horror, but it's more historical accuracy, which I find very intriguing, just because, you know, I like history. And even though I don't identify as a Christian, I still really enjoy the parables from the Bible because, you know, it's stories, and however you interpret it, you know, that's your opinion, but it's
Hell,
very interesting to me.
Revelations to me is one of the scariest stories I've
Yeah.
ever read. So yeah, no,
Yeah.
and I've seen the stuff that you posted, and the photography in it is absolutely beautiful, and the color schemes are breathtaking. So yeah, no, I can't blame you for, you know, for expanding your horizons, you know, in doing something like that. If anything, it's just going to help you keep going.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that, you know, I've been really enjoying because it gives a chance for, you know, Jim, my partner, even though he's a little more humble and subdued about acting and things, Jim would never tell you he's an actor. He'd never tell you he's a camera guy. He'd never tell you anything because that's Jim.
Right.
But Jim actually shot all of the Horror of Babylon segment. I didn't shoot that. Jim shot it.
Oh, wow.
I just color graded it.
Well,
and
both worked out perfectly. So please send him mad props for me after this is over.
I will. But yeah, you know, I'm going to Colombia. I'm going to be at the Bogota Horror Film Festival as an official judge, along with Mikel Belardi. So I will be judging some films there. Also too, and it's supposed to be tentative, but I might be going to Colombia before that to shoot a film in Cúcuta, a horror film.
I saw something briefly that you had mentioned about that. That is incredible. It really is. So my question to you is, and congratulations on being invited to be a part of the panel. I think that's incredible, especially someplace that far away. How does the language barrier hurt? Are you anticipating there to be issues? Are you going to have Jim? Because I know Jim is fluent in Spanish, so
yeah.
I think that'll definitely help. I'm assuming he's going with you. Whether he's going to be able to be allowed to have a chair next to you as a interpreter, whatever, I don't know. But does that concern you at all?
Yes, just because, you know, and I mentioned this before when speaking with someone like Mikael, I don't want to sound stupid, you know, and I think that one of my irrational fears, I'm sorry, that's my guinea pig.
There's the baby.
Gary. Yeah, Gary obviously is very offended by this.
Hi, Gary.
Quiet, son. one of my irrational fears is just being that American, and I don't want to be that American, and so it scares me because I don't want to sound stupid, and you know, obviously with Jim going, it does help a lot, you know, since he is Mexican, and you know, the fluency helps. But I try to look at it as, well, I mean, it's a learning experience for me, and it gives me a chance to kind of, you know, hone my Spanish chops. And it's just, again, I just don't want to sound stupid. That's all. It's intimidating.
Well, I mean, on the same side, you want to be able to understand them fluently and not have them come across stupid or ignorant. You know, you want to be able to understand each other 100%.
Right.
And that would be my only concern, is that somebody doesn't misinterpret what you are trying to say, or you're not misinterpreting what they're saying to you, and it come across wrong.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Exactly. And you know, what the little bit of Spanish that I can speak, I try my hardest to speak Spanish whenever I can with any kind of Spanish speaking people, just because it gives me a chance to practice, and I think it's more respectful than just kind of barging into a conversation going, hey, you know, I mean, come on, you know.
Yeah, good point. Yeah,
hey.
You're definitely from Florida. So your agenda has definitely, or your books have definitely been full. They seem to be getting fuller. You've got the next shoot. The next film, as well as the film festival. I don't know if you have anything reached after that extent. Now, when are those supposed to take place?
So the Bogota Horror Film Festival is October 21st through 31st. So it's about 10 days.
Okay.
Yeah, and so the other film that might take place before that is beginning of September. There's still no date, but tentatively we'll say the beginning of September. So I still have to find out from John, which, by the way, John, I cannot say his last name. I apologize. I just don't want to butcher it, you know, in front of your audience. But John is the one that got me linked up with this guy, and he's the one that's going to put me in this documentary with a bunch of other horror people. David Howard Thornton's going to be in it. The actors from Audition. So it's just like a cute little documentary that he's compiling. And so he kind of, you know, introduced me to this producer, and it's so sweet. Colombian people and their hospitality is insane. I can honestly say that my experience thus far, especially with South American people and their love for and passion for horror and films, it's insane. And it puts perspective on things, especially in this country with what's going on with SAG and whatnot, and how American executives, they don't put any value on the, you know, talent. The actor. Right. Yeah. But in Colombia and South America, they put all the value on the talent, and it's so crazy. You talk about polar opposites.
Right. No, that's good, because what was it? Yeah, I mean, you had the Writers Guild strike, then the SAG actors, and then I'd heard a day or two later on a morning talk radio that I listened to that the term for it. It's all the backstage folks. The costume designers, the makeup
crew,
and so forth. All the crew are ready to walk as well, because I believe as they're all union all as well. So
as they should be.
Yeah,
it's hard as not. I'm non-union. I am not part of a union,
right.
But I do support the strike, because again, I'm not going to get into, you know, details, but I know what it's like to not be paid.
Sure.
It's a shitty feeling, especially when you're spending money on plane tickets and lodging and food. And, you know, I don't care who you are. I don't care where you come from. If you're going to direct a film and you're going to assemble a crew, you've absolutely got to make sure that you take care of everybody on that set. It's your job.
Yeah. Now, my wife and I were part of a indie horror film, I guess, right before COVID. So let's say three years now. Something along those lines. It wasn't far, maybe let's call it less than 2 hour drive for us. And it was this person's first film they were doing, small staff, small crew. You know, but by the time all was said and done, by the time we ended up paying for our hotel rooms and our, you know, lodging and expenses and food and so forth, you know, we ended up spending probably $1,500, of which we really could not have afforded. Now I understand, you know, this person is doing this out of their own pocket. I get that. They did have a GoFundMe that they put straight into editing production, which the person did all themselves. You know, there was one morning where Dunkin' Donuts coffee, a box of coffee and some donuts was made available for, you know, for everybody. But, I get it. Did I expect to, you know, get famous and make $1 million off of it? No, by no means. Was I hoping to have at least said, all right, well, you know, your hotel, we will pay for your hotel, your lodging, or help you with travel expenses, something along those lines. And actually, one of the actors, I ended up driving him home to Baltimore, and he's a SAG actor, by the way. Who has actually become a very dear friend of mine. No names, obviously, but it was kind of a mess.
Yeah, it's a disaster. I mean, you know, even if you're, for example,
and I'm sorry, I was in the movie, and my wife did makeup and special effect makeup as well for the film. So it wasn't she was just there for a free ride. I wanted to clarify that. Sorry.
They should have paid you both. I mean, that's just kind of, well, this is the challenge too, because I have some friends that, you know, they message me on Facebook and they say, hey, listen, you know, this, there's this one guy, I'm not going to name his name, but sweetest guy in the world. And he was just telling me how he was scammed. The director wanted to, I guess, you know, use him for free labor. And, you know, he was really bummed when he found out about it. He's like, well, how can I build my resume, you know, my portfolio and stuff? And this is the challenge because, you know, how do you build, you know, a portfolio without being screwed at every sure. corner? And, you know, I told him, I said, you know, listen, you might want to entertain the idea of trying to, you know, just jot down ideas, make a storyboard, you know, grab your iPhone. People make movies on iPhones. I mean, grab your iPhone, make a short film, put it out there. I mean, don't just depend on other people too. And me, myself, I'm actually going to direct my first short film, I decided.
I know. So, I saw that. I was getting ready to ask you about that. Do I dare even ask what this is going to be about, though?
I really don't know. I'm so torn because a part of me, and I know this is going to be shocking, a part of me really wants to do a drama.
Right. I can see that.
I'd love to do a drama again, just to kind of expand, just, you know, my horizons and stuff. But I also want to do my own horror film because I don't feel like either. And I could give a shit less about, you know, the whole man woman thing. You know, that's not my MO. You know, more power to you if you feel a certain type of way. But I don't care. Right. As far as I'm concerned, I exist.
Yes.
But I would like to see my take on a horror film because of my style of art. And I think it would be intriguing to have, you know, kind of a dark horse such as myself kind of come into the game and just say, hey, this is what I have to offer. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I will be fair to myself and say that, you know, I'm still just kind of an underground name. And so it would be interesting. I think it would be really interesting too, especially with you know, all the knowledge that I have now. And I can tell you one thing, it would be as realistic as possible. I don't know if I could get away with a lot of the stuff that I do.
You're looking to bring some of your modeling to life, aren't you?
I'm trying to. I
knew that was coming.
I know this sounds kind of crazy, but I was thinking about bringing Flush Unicorn into this.
Yep, I knew that. I knew that. I thought it was going to either be that or the, what was it, the octopus?
Yeah, Flush Unicorn's kind of like jumping out at me right now. I could really do a lot with Flush Unicorn.
Sure.
And I think I'm going to start with horror first. I might kind of make it like, kind of drama horror, maybe. I don't know. We'll see how I feel, but I haven't even considered writing a storyboard. All I know is it's going to be really fucking graphic. And you know, the first thing in my head I thought of today when I was in my car, I said, well, what if I had a scene where I cut my nipple off?
I can name two films that it has been done in, but has it been done well?
Yeah. Well,
someone that I know that you've mentioned to me that you've recently talked to.
Yeah.
I know could do it really, really well. Special effects wise.
I'm thinking about actually doing it.
Oh man. Why did that not surprise the shit out of me?
Just kidding.
I gave my left nipple for this movie. No, seriously.
Or am I kidding? No, but it's gonna be hardcore. It will be. I just, like I said, I don't even have a story in my head, and this is something that's on the back burner right now because I still don't know when I'm gonna be filming Virginia Bitches. By the way,
yeah, I was wondering about that. I haven't heard you mention a word about that.
It's just I don't know. It's fucking. It's been pushed back so many times, and I'm also in How the Night Receives Them too, the other Scott Hansen film that I'm working on. And it's so many conflicting things because a lot of the people in the movie are musicians. And so right. I understand going on tour and stuff. It's hard, but it's hard.
Everybody and their mother is on tour right now. Everybody.
Yeah. And I mean, Wayne Anderson reached out to me, so he's got my measurements for the suit. And if you don't know who I'm going to be in the movie, I'm Queenie. I'm a big, I mean, literal big fat sack of shit.
Nice.
Yeah. So I don't know. I really don't know. I'd like to really get into this film. I'm dying to get down there and just start doing the damn thing. But it's just it's really up to the cast. And unfortunately, because a lot of people know each other, if one person bails, the other one bails, and so it's like, eh, you got to tread lightly.
Now, if I remember correctly, that one's even supposed to have who was it? Erie Vaughn. Was that right? Wasn't Erie supposed to be a part of that, I thought? Wasn't he
I don't
one
know.
Of the musicians I thought you had mentioned? I could be
Well,
wrong.
It's Randall Blythe from Lamb of God.
Who is now on tour with Pantera.
Exactly.
Right.
Efrain Quiñones, who's part of Saint Diablo.
Mm-hmm.
Christian Machado. Fuck. God, there's so many fucking people. I mean, Butcher Babies. Alyssa White Glows from Arch Enemy. I don't even know who the antagonist is going to be yet. We still haven't picked out an antagonist, which last time I talked to Hansen, he said that it was between Peter Stormare and Brad Dourif.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Which that's tough because, God, I fucking love both of those actors so much.
Yeah. That's wow. I'd hate to even have to flip a coin on that one.
I
really would.
Really,
I mean, Brad's just I don't want to say he hasn't gotten recognition over the years, but I still feel as he is one of the most underrated actors. I truly do.
He is. And he's got a hell of a range, though. I mean, he's got it.
Yeah, if people don't understand. Yep. If they were to look at the movies that he's been in over the years, people would be like, oh, my God. I thought he just did Chucky.
No.
That's like nothing compared to his actual acting.
No, his acting is, I got to tell you, I feel personally, and this might be sacrilege, but I feel he's on par with Gary Oldman in terms of just.
Oh, my God, yes.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. And Gary's probably in my top three actors of all time. I really do. And I don't think Gary's ever perceived his notoriety as well as it should be either. That's just me.
Gary is one of those actors where first of all, I had such a crush on him. I still do. I still have a crush on Gary Oldman, but
he's such a chameleon.
He is. I mean, Gary Oldman's one of those. I tell you, I already told. So, fun fact, I told Scott Hansen. I said, listen, I got to tell. Oops, sorry.
Nope, you're good. I got you.
Okay, I said I gotta tell you something. If you end up working with Hiroyuki Sanada, if you get that man on set, I don't give a shit if I have to literally just be like halfway down the road. I want to be somewhere near that set because I love Hiroyuki Sanada. I that is my crush of crush of crushes. So.
Well, now ever since my first recollection of Gary Oldman, and I know he had been acting a lot longer than this, but when I first remembered seeing him portraying Sid Vicious in Sid and Nancy, straight to the top for me, he went.
Yeah.
That was just.
Yeah, Gary.
Yeah. But. Anyway.
Gary.
Nope, sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, please. You are the guest. We're here to talk to and about you.
No. Gary is one of those actors that you definitely aspire to have the same range as. And I think that's why I myself am trying to kind of expand my horizons because I just don't want to be known as horror. I mean, yeah, I love horror. I mean, that's obviously my preferred genre, but I think that this project I'm working on for White Gardenia in the Old Testament, I think it's been fun for me. It's been fun to kind of flex different range of emotions. I mean, playing Lot's wife and being, you know, kind of sad and anxious and worried, and then playing the Whore of Babylon, who's supposed to be very seductive and sexual. And it's given me an opportunity to really play different people. And the thing is, and you know, once you kind of see all these segments, I don't look like the same person in any of them. And I'm trying to do that on purpose, because I am in so many segments. I don't want people to say, oh, okay, well, there's Corey again.
Right.
I want them to say, oh, okay, it's a different character, you know? So, and that's kind of been the challenge for me, is how do I mix up my wardrobes while still keeping that as close to historically accurate look?
Right.
So, yeah.
So, before our time does run out, and unfortunately the powers that be with the Zoom gods are limiting us, where does this put your modeling? Your personal modeling, your CDC modeling.
You mean for merch or for my own personal artwork and things?
Sure.
Well, I'm trying to get to it, to be honest with you.
No, and that's what I mean. I know what I mean is, are you kind of putting that more on the back burner and, oh, I got a couple weeks off, I'll do a couple poses, take some pictures, put some of your beautiful creative makeup on and take a couple photo shots? Or are you going to kind of put the stuff away and focus more on pursuing more acting?
No, I've been wanting to do looks outside film. I just haven't got the time. And, sure. And you know, again, I'm grateful for it. I would never once in my life say like, oh, this sucks, you know. No, I feel grateful to have the opportunity. But as soon as I have downtime, that's the first thing I'm going to get on, because it helps me too with writing, because I told you I'm a writer mm-hmm. first before anything, and mm-hmm. and it gives me an opportunity to kind of, it gives me ideas for my third book, and I want to write a third book, but where the fuck am I going to get time to write a third book? Now, that, where am I really going to get time to write a third book?
Right. So. Right. No, I am. I'm very proud of you, and I'm so happy for all the newfound, and I don't use the term fortune in the sense of financial, but all of your newfound fortunes, Corey. You know, listeners, when Corey and I first talked, you know, she was in great despair and wanted so many things to happen, and now, as you can hear her clearly saying, when the fuck do I have time to even write?
But I'm grateful, though. I am. I'm ecstatic.
We are all happy for you. We truly are.
But, you know, with all that, I really truly do try to make time for all my supporters. I try my hardest to answer every message, every comment. I really do try,
because I know I'm a pain in your ass. I know I am. I'll admit it. I just keep trying. Every time I see you're not busy, hey, what are you doing tonight? Hey, what about tomorrow?
No,
hey,
I don't mind it, though. And, you know, it's like on Facebook. I don't mind answering people's comments and questions and stuff, because that's how you learn, you know. And it's my job to educate people. And even if it's not my job, I consider it my job to educate people and try and inspire people to do what they want to do. Because there's too many people nowadays that don't consider the arts an art form. And it is. And I want to be that parent, that supportive parent to kind of push people. So it's my mission to make sure that everybody feels, you know, oh, okay, she genuinely cares. I do. I give a fuck. Mm-hmm. That's my first problem, right? I give a fuck.
So real quick, I don't even know how, I'm not even sure if you can talk about this yet or not. Anybody else that you might have talked to about a possible future project that you can possibly let us know about?
Or yes,
are we putting that on the back burner?
No, I did tell you this beforehand, and I wanted to mention it. If any of your listeners are familiar with Marcus Koch, who did the Symbolicus story, You know, I had brief talks with him. He and I have been following each other for, I guess, a couple months now. I didn't even know he was following me, and I felt like a dick for not following him back, because, again, I just, whatever. But so I reached out to him today and I said, hey, listen, you know, I know you mentioned the other day that you wanted to possibly work on something together. And Brian Pollan, too, was also part of this conversation, which Ooh. Brian is a sweetheart.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah. He's like, are you familiar with the Symbolicus series? And I said, absolutely. And he's like, well, I'd really like for you to be part of Symbolicus 4. And I said, well, that's, you know, that's awesome, because, you know, Mikkel's in the movie. Domiziano Cristofaro's in it, which I love Domiziano. I love him so much. Which, oh yeah, by the way, random, I'm actually going to be a guest at Horror Island 3 in Spain. I forgot about that too.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Oh yeah, sorry, I forgot. There's so much shit. And so we're going to do we're going to do Symbolicus 4, and there, I don't even know the date on that. I don't even know the premise behind it, but yeah. So
congratulations.
It's going to be a busy year for me.
Yes. One last thing. I want everyone that ever comes onto my show that is in a production or has things of value that are working on, I want them people to be able to plug whatever they are plugging. So I know you also have a new line of merchandise that is out. I just happen to be wearing their bikini bottoms as we speak. So tell everybody what you got and where they can get it really quick.
Just go to my website. It's really easy. It's www.officialcoryCoryDeanCowley.com. And that's where you can find pretty much everything I have. And yeah, buy a bikini that's got, you know, my duct tape, bloody mouth and teeth. Wear it on your groin. It's good stuff.
Instagram, Facebook. Corey is heavily active with social media. She's always posting stuff. Definitely keep an eye on her. She is the goods, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to watch this woman skyrocket. I promise you that. And I'm very proud to say that I have kind of been here since almost, I think I was actually one of your very first interviews. Potted show interview.
Yeah. So yeah, you were one of the first ones that genuinely wanted to interview me on a podcast. Because yes. I can honestly say, believe it or not, no one really asked to interview me, and you did.
Well, there will be lots more to follow up. Boys and girls, Corey Dean Colley, CDC official. Keep it evil. This is John Roysman with the Witching Hour podcast. Talk to you guys soon.
Arigato.